Elsewhere Publishing House presents Living Alone, Living Well, A Gentle Guide to Independence by G.G. Muse. Dedication to everyone who has cried over a phone call with their mom, eaten cereal for dinner 3 nights in a row, and still somehow figured it out.
A note before we start.
Nobody hands you a manual when you move out for the first time. One day, you're living your life with someone else, handling the Wi-Fi password and the grocery budget, and the quiet background hum of another person being nearby. The next day, you're standing in a supermarket aisle, holding two different brands of dish soap, genuinely unsure which one to pick, wondering if this is what adulthood is actually supposed to feel like. It is, and also, it gets easier. Not immediately, not in a straight line, but it does. Here's what also happens, though, and what doesn't get said nearly enough. Somewhere in the middle of all this figuring out, something shifts. You start to know yourself in a way you didn't before. You learn what you actually like, not what you were raised to like or what was convenient for everyone around you. You discover that you can handle more than you thought. You start to feel, on certain ordinary evenings, a quiet kind of peace, the particular peace of a life that is genuinely yours. That part is real, too. Maybe more real than the hard parts, in the long run. This book isn't a productivity guide. It's not going to tell you to wake up at 5 a.m. or build some optimized morning routine. It also isn't going to pretend that independence is all candles and freedom and finally being the person who picks the restaurant. Because sometimes it's exhausting and confusing and quietly lonely in ways you didn't expect. But here's what I've come to believe, having lived through this and watched many people go through it in many different ways. Learning to live independently is one of the most quietly transformative things a person can do. It puts you in a relationship with yourself, possibly for the first time, and that relationship turns out to be one of the most important ones you'll ever have. What this book is, hopefully, is the older friend you needed. The one who has already lived through this and can sit beside you and say, "I know, it's a lot." Here's what actually helps, and here's what it can grow into. You're going to be okay. Not because everything will be fine all the time, but because you are more capable than you currently believe, and because this experience, even with all its difficulty, is shaping you into someone more whole. Let's start there. Chapter 1. What independence actually means. Hint, it's bigger than you imagined, in both directions. Before you moved out, or before you started imagining it, independence probably looked a certain way in your head. Maybe it looked like freedom, space, your own kitchen. Staying up late without explaining yourself. Playing music as loud as you want, nobody asking where you've been. And all of that is real. The freedom is real. But here's the part nobody quite prepares you for. Independence also means being the person who notices when the trash is full. It means being the one who buys the toilet paper. It means that when the smoke alarm goes off at 2 a.m. because you fell asleep while boiling water, you are the one who deals with it. Just you, in your underwear, frantically waving a dish towel at the ceiling. Independence is beautiful, and also deeply administrative. A friend of mine, let's call her Sarah, moved into her first apartment at 22. She'd been dreaming about it for years. Her own place, her own walls. She told me that within the first week, she cried 3 times. Once, when she couldn't figure out how to turn the heating on, once, when she realized she had no real idea how to cook rice, and once, the one that really got her, when she got a cold and there was no one to bring her tea. "I thought independence meant freedom," she said. "I didn't realize it also meant being responsible for absolutely everything, including your own soup when you're sick." Almost everyone who has lived alone recognizes that moment. It's not dramatic. It's just this quiet, low-grade realization. "Oh, I'm the one now. I'm the one who handles this." And here's what Sarah also told me, a year later. I cook really well now. I know my apartment completely. I know what I like. I'm more myself than I've ever been. Both things were true. The difficulty was real, and so was the growth. Independence doesn't mean you no longer need people. That's the most common misconception, and it causes a lot of quiet suffering. Independence means learning how to meet your own needs, make your own decisions, and build a life that genuinely reflects who you are, while still being connected to others. Still calling your mom when you're sick, still leaning on friends when things get hard. You're not supposed to become a self-sufficient island. You're supposed to become someone who knows how to take care of themselves, and who can ask for help without shame, and who chooses connection from a place of security rather than desperation. That is the whole skill. That's the thing this entire experience is quietly teaching you. Many people are afraid of being alone, genuinely, deeply afraid, not because there's anything wrong with them, but because they were never really taught how. We grow up surrounded by others. We move from family homes to schools to dormitories, carried by structures that keep us in company almost continuously. The idea of being alone, truly quietly alone with yourself, can feel unfamiliar enough to feel frightening. But here's what many people discover. Solitude and loneliness are not the same thing. Loneliness is the painful absence of wanted connection. Solitude is something different, the fullness that comes from being peacefully at home in your own company. Learning to tell these two things apart, and learning to cultivate the second while honestly addressing the first, is one of the most valuable things that living alone can teach you. A person who genuinely enjoys their own company carries a particular kind of quiet strength. They aren't waiting to be completed by someone else. They aren't filling their hours to avoid themselves. They have built a relationship with their own mind and their own rhythms, and that relationship gives them something solid to stand on. That's not an accident of personality. It's something that gets built. And independent living, with all its awkwardness and fumbling, is one of the best places to build it. A small thing to carry forward. Independence isn't a destination you arrive at. It's a long, ongoing practice of figuring things out, adjusting, and slowly becoming someone you trust. The difficulty of right now doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means you're doing it, and the person you're becoming in the process is someone worth meeting. Chapter 2, Creating Safety and Stability. First, before the fun stuff. There's a version of starting independent life that looks like decorate your room, light nice candles, invite friends over, post a photo of your new space, and please, do all of that. It matters. But underneath the aesthetics, there are a few practical things that create the foundation. Everything else rests on. Not exciting things, the kind of things that only feel important when they're missing. Think of them as building the floor before you put furniture on it. Know your numbers. What is your rent? What do you take home each month after tax? What is the gap between those two things? That gap, the money you have left after rent, is what your actual life runs on. Food, transport, utilities, everything. Write it down somewhere visible. This isn't about complicated budgeting. It's about understanding the basic shape of your situation so it stops feeling like a fog. Understand your lease. Nobody wants to read a lease. Read it anyway, at least the key parts. How much rent is, what the notice period is if you need to leave, and whether your landlord or you is responsible for repairs. 20 minutes of attention here can save months of confusion later. Keep a small emergency fund, even a small one, even just $100 in a separate account you don't touch. Having anything set aside for when things go sideways is the difference between a stressful moment and a genuine crisis. Things do go wrong, not constantly, but enough. A small buffer changes how you face them. Know who to call. Save your landlord's number. Make sure one trusted person knows your address. Find the circuit breaker in your apartment before you need it in the dark. Know where the nearest urgent care is. These are boring things that matter quietly and constantly. Get the basics before you need them. A simple first aid kit, a few medicines,